Sunday the 4th of February 2018, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Belonging. Sermon title, Belonging to Each Other. Bible reading, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Talk by Jeremy O'Hare.
Our reading today is taken from Colossians 3, 12 to 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in them richly as you teach and admonish one another. With all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in our hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. My, hasn't January gone fast? Here we are in February already, and it's the first weekend of the month, and as you may or may not know, but the first weekend of the month means that it's Belonging Sundays when we look at a different theme through our series. And it's about belonging to each other. And it is a topic from Colossians we'll hear from. How do we belong to each other? That's a big question. A very big question. And I'm going to try and dig down and find an answer for us this morning, based on this reading from Colossians. And Paul was writing to the church in Colossae, and it was a church that was established about 100 miles east of Ephesus in modern-day Turkey, and it was a church plant set up by someone in his community called Epaphras. So Paul, supported by Timothy, commissioned this young man to go out and to form this little community. And in fact, it was thought that Epaphras was from the local area, so he had a good network and he knew family and friends by which he could establish the church. But something very weird was happening in this church. It was a little unusual. You could almost say it was a kind of a hippie church without so much peace and love. There's all sorts of strange goings on. There was extreme fasting, following different customs and different traditions that weren't particularly, in line with what a gospel-focused church would be. There appeared to be a lot of false humility, and there was some legalism creeping in as well. Paul was saying, look, the body's lost contact with the head, and the head, of course, being Christ. And so Paul, looking at the bigger problem, looking at particular problems in the church, comes up with a universal answer. And that is for the church to come back to the foundation, to the true cosmic Christ, the big Christ, the creator, sustainer, redeemer, and reconciler of the universe. This is an astonishing book. It's epic. And before I prepared this morning, I actually listened to the book again. It only took about 12 minutes, and you can, if you're inclined, you can download a free app where you can have a Bible audio guide and you can have scripture read to you. And I listened to the whole thing. It took about 12 minutes. And just to hear it in its entirety, it's very powerful. And I think it's a letter for our age. In the same way, perhaps, that Romans was a letter for the Reformation, I think Colossians is a letter for our age. But we don't have time to go into that, but I would recommend going back and reading it or hearing it in its entirety. So to come back to this question, how do we belong to each other? And hearing that context, we can answer it in two ways, I think. We belong to each other by getting along in the Lord, and by being strong in the Lord. And we have a verse just a little previous to the passage we heard, verse 9, because we have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. The new self. And this, I think, unlocks the rest of the passage. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How do we get along with each other? We bear with each other. I've been geeking out on the Greek a little bit because I've been curious to really get beneath what the words are in the original language, ancient Greek. And this word bear, forgive my translation, I'm not an expert, anikomenoi, I think it's pronounced, means to exercise patience and restraint. I think a lot of our developing and growing up is just this. When you look at a child under 5 years old, they virtually have no patience, no restraint. You know, last time I was in a queue at the post office, not somewhere I want to spend a lot of my time, but every now and then I have to queue up. And of course there was a mother and a young child there in front of me, and you know, he was 4 years old, and you know, he was just getting fed up with queuing and waiting for nothing in particular. What was the point of it all? And as you know, eyes would wander up like this, and you know, he'd be kind of crawling around and hanging off the queue rope, and he had absolutely no sense of self-restraint or patience. And why would he? He's a child under five. It's very important that he, you know, just is what he is. I'm not saying discipline isn't important at that age, but they don't have that sense of self-restraint. But as you get older, as a child goes from age 5, 6, 7, 8, they need to learn to sit still, to focus, to listen. And then they get into adulthood. And by then, hopefully, we've found that self-restraint that we need most of the time. Same sense of the word. Patience. Restraint. And every relationship that we have, be it friendship, church community, marriage, there's this give and take. And with that, the sense of restraint and patience. Bearing with one another. I think another way we can bear with one another is actually to understand each other, where exactly it is that we're coming from. I'm very interested in personality types and personality traits. And there's something called the Big Five types of personality. And this has been verified for the last few decades scientifically. And there are five distinct personalities. There's openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. If you have an open personality, you're very open to new ideas and experiences. If you're conscientious, you're the sort of person that likes to turn up on time. You have certain rules and ways of doing things. You have a very structured and almost a bordered way of looking at life. And you work very hard and you have very high values and you know very clearly what is correct and what is not correct. If you're extrovert, you're the sort of person that loves the company of others. You know, in communion, when you go and shake hands with everybody and we make the peace, you can tell where all the extroverts are because they're working the whole room. They're going around the whole room and shaking hands with everybody. And it's a wonderful gift to have in the church, these extroverts that can bring the community and build the network. It's wonderful. And then we have the agreeable personalities. Those are the people that after the service will come up to you and say, how are you doing? How's your family? How's your wife, husband? The people persons, the ones that are naturally empathetic. They have a gift of giving time and love and concern for others. It's the agreeableness. And then there's neuroticism, and it may not be quite as bad as it sounds. Those that tend to worry a lot about things. Those that might be inclined more to feeling the daily stresses of life. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because in that, you can take steps to avoid the problems of life and to look after yourself and to look after others. It's like a warning sign for things that can go wrong. So you take measures to make sure they don't. So all of these personality types have strengths, but there are weaknesses of each of them. The person who's open may be so open they have no idea what to think or believe. And they may not be quite so open-minded after all. The one who's conscientious may be a little too conscientious. They may be judgmental or resentful of others for not working as hard as they are. The extrovert needs to be quiet a little bit and be still. The agreeable person avoids conflict at all costs. Not a good scenario a lot of the time. And if you're overly neurotic, well, you just can't cope with life. But it helps to understand that each of us probably has one of these forms of personalities and why it can be so difficult sometimes to get on with each other. But bearing with each other, understanding our differences and our strengths that come with them is how we can live together as church and forgive as the Lord forgave you. So to forgive, this Greek word, charizomai, to be pleasant, kind, benevolent, to grant forgiveness, to graciously restore, to put something back together again. I love in this country how old places are normally given reverence and respect, how the culture of restoration is so strong. My wife and I were members of the National Trust, and it's just a joy to go around and see these old places lovingly put back together and return back to their original glory. That sense of restoration is really what I think Paul is getting at here, how the church can be put back together, its people restored to the glory that God had always intended them to be. Because we are a new people. We have the new self. And so in that, we need to forgive as Christ forgave. Because our very community embodies the gospel and embodies who Christ is. One of the most amazing Christian communities I've had the pleasure and blessing to visit is a little community in France. You may have heard of it. Called Taizé. And it's a monastic order of Protestants and Catholics, and it was formed a very small number of brothers in the Second World War, and then after the war, more people joined the community, and by the 1960s, tens of thousands of young people would turn up to this little French village in Burgundy and come and be present and to worship God. And so the day would be morning prayer, a breakout for study, lunch, afternoon reflection, and an evening prayer. Very simple flow to the day. But this community now attracts over 100,000 young people from all over the world, from all different Christian traditions, coming together in one place, in one body, worshiping and hearing from the Lord. It is the most powerful and inspiring place I've ever had the experience to be at. And the church that was built, the building that was built in the 60s and is called the Church of Reconciliation. The Church of Reconciliation. And it's very interesting because all the different home communities, the Catholic churches in Poland, they say don't go there. It's full of evangelicals. And the Russian Orthodox people say, don't go there. They're generally paranoid anyway. It's full of other Christians. And the Protestants here say, don't go there. It's full of Catholics. And when you turn up, you leave that historical baggage at the gate. And you come there and you be present. And you hear from each other. You listen to each other's backgrounds and stories and faith journey. And it's a tremendous leveler. And I remember that the first time I was there, I was in a bunk and this big, rotund Polish priest came up to me. And the first thing he did was give me a bead of rosaries and welcomed me. And I said, what do I do with this? Now, I could have been very conscientious and said, that's not correct. I don't pray to Mary. That theology is not appropriate. But instead, bear with one another. Got to know the guy. And we learned about each other and about our different traditions. We're still very different, but we could still worship in one place. And I remember the last Sunday, because you stay there for a week, And it was the most amazing experience. You had thousands of young people all taking communion together. I don't know what kind of communion it was. It doesn't really matter. But I started to cry because here was the bride of Christ. One body. The body of Christ that God sees. And just for a moment, all of the stuff of our traditions and history, important though they are, I'm not neglecting that, was just for a moment put aside for something bigger. Reconciling, forgiving. That's what that whole community is about. And we're called to do the same as well. And over all these virtues, Paul writes, put on love. Put on love. Oh man, that word's so frustrating. Love. What does it really mean? I think we're very confused in our culture with that word. Well, there are four loves in the Greek. There's a love called storge, familial love, the love of parents and family members. There's eros love, think Cupid, romance, and summers. Stop there, I'll bring it back. It's a family show. That kind of love. Then there's philos. This love is the love of companionship, friendship, mutuality, giving and getting, supporting each other. And that love is mentioned in the New Testament quite often. But there's a love that's mentioned five times more than philos, the brotherly love. And that's agape love. That is the deep concern and welfare for others. Benevolence, goodwill, genuine affection, giving without getting. It is the crowning love of all loves. It's the love of Corinthians that Paul also writes about, the greatest gift of all. It's not a feeling. It's not abstract. It binds people. It's an action. It binds people in unity or perfection, completeness. It's the love that brings it all together, the agape. And that is the love that as church we're called to be. Over all these virtues, let it all be crowned with agape love, because it is the very love of Christ himself. So that's how we belong in the Lord. Those three or four things, bearing, forgiving, and loving. But how do we grow strong in the Lord? Because we each have a responsibility to ourselves so that we can support and love each other. Well, we hear in the passage we're to clothe ourselves, and that was a beautiful choice of hymn, by the way. I kept hearing the passage coming up through the lyrics time and time again. I think the phrase was "enclothe yourself." It's directly referencing Colossians. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Put these virtues on outward and inward. But you know how you put on some clothes for a job interview or you get dressed up for a wedding. You feel the part. You feel different. You're still yourself, but you feel different. And that's really what Paul is saying. Clothe yourselves. Feel different with compassion, kindness, humility. Because we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We have to look and play the part. That's what God is expecting of us. Because these virtues are different from the realm of the everyday. They transform our natures because we are a new self, remember, renewed in the knowledge of our Creator. So we need to be transformed, to put on these virtues, to be His chosen people. And so we grow strong in the Lord by being called to peace. Let the peace of Christ rule. The Greek eirene, direct translation shalom from the Hebrew originally. Wholeness, again restoration. Safety of body and mind, fullness. Let that kind of peace rule in your hearts. And that ruling, rather like a referee or an umpire, maintaining restraint. Let that kind of peace rule in our hearts. As we grow strong, we allow Christ to dwell. And lastly, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. And what that means is, this is our home. Let Christ dwell in our home. Bring him back with us. As we share wisdom, the wisdom of Christ with each other. As we teach each other. We support each other. You know, some of us have gone through some very difficult experiences in our lives, and that's where we share wisdom. And we always have that gratitude to God for what he's done for us in Christ. So let the message of Christ dwell among us all richly. And finally, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is for our church, and this is for all of our life. Christ in you, Christ in me, Christ the hope of glory. May we take that into our lives and into our hearts as we bring restoration to ourselves, to each other, and to the world as a whole. May you experience the peace and richness of Christ as we go forward as church together. Amen.